You're listening to SpursCast, episode 554. My name is Paul Garcia, and I am the host of the SpursCast. Joining me for this episode will be Project Spurs' founder, Michael DeLeon. Mike, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Doing good. Summer finally winding down. It's actually, the weather's not changing, but we're starting to see signs of life with the NBA because, you know, training camps and media days and scrimmages are being announced, so finally people are getting excited, so that's good to see.
Hey, just letting you know, you and I are recording near San Antonio. Next Thursday's calendar on the weather on all the weather apps, it says it's going to be 67 one morning. So let's hope that happens. We get our first 60-degree day here. So that'll be nice. Yeah, but you're right, Mike. You know, a lot of training camps are going to start kicking off this coming weekend, especially the NBA teams that are going to be traveling overseas for their preseason games. They're going to have an earlier training camp and media day start. But the Spurs will officially kick off next week, next Monday, September 30th, I believe that is. The Spurs will hold their media day. And then on October 1st, training camp officially begins, and here we go. Preseason games come, a few preseason games, and all of a sudden, here it is. The regular season kicks off, and then 82 games, and then, you know, see if they make the playoffs and all that good stuff. But we're here to talk about just kind of what's going on with the Spurs right now. After it's been like 2 weeks since I last recorded, there hasn't been a lot going on, really. And then from there, Mike, we're going to kind of address training camp and kind of some big questions that we have as the Spurs head into training camp. So let's begin with some team news. They had some staff changes and also roster changes lately in these last 2 weeks. They made a bunch of staff hires and, you know, promotions as well between the Austin Spurs and the San Antonio Spurs. One of the main names that I want to kind of point to is Mitch Johnson. He got hired from the Austin Spurs as he was there for 3 seasons as an assistant coach. And now he's going to be working under Pop as an assistant coach with the Spurs. So Pop's roster now, his coaching roster, should I say, has Becky Hammon, Will Hardy, Tim Duncan, Chip England, and now Mitch Johnson is that fifth assistant coach. Some other news with the players, Mike. Jeff Ledbetter, you know, he got some Twitter hype because he got signed finally to the Spurs. But then they just waived him on Wednesday evening. And I know you were talking about how he has a nickname, right, about Austin. Can you
Oh, yeah, he's the mayor of Cedar Park because they actually play in Cedar Park. So that's what everybody calls him over there, the mayor of Cedar Park.
Yeah, so the mayor of Cedar Park and the guy who's, you know, he's known for the Austin Spurs and also for the Summer League Spurs. He's one of their better players. He got waived. And then the Spurs just added their 20th player since Ledbetter got waived. And Matt Farrell, he is a 6'1 point guard out of Notre Dame, out of the 2018 draft class. He went undrafted, unfortunately. And he spent his last season, in the G League. But really, Keith Smith of Yahoo Sports, he basically reported that both of these guys getting signed and then Ledbetter getting waived, and that will probably be the case for Farrell, is that by signing these guys to the San Antonio Spurs team, they also are able to retain their G League rights so that they can basically end up both in Austin if they want to go the G League route. So is that kind of what you saw there with those two moves?
Yeah, it's basically just like an affiliate player thing where, and I think that it's every year, like usually like the first, you can select 4 players that usually get cut during training camp as affiliate players that then the affiliate team has kind of the rights to them. So honestly, when Ledbetter was signed, as you know, a lot of people were kind of like wondering why. And I was just like, it's just a training camp thing. He's just there to push guys in training camp. But Farrell had actually already been on the Austin Spurs roster. He got there through a trade with the, I think they're called the Blue Coats, for Julian Washburn. Yeah. So, honestly, to me, I think they're kind of doing, one of the things that Spurs do a lot, it seems like, is that they take care of their players, people that have spent time, and like having him on the Summer League roster was a way to showcase him, and then signing him really was a way for them to, okay, so they retain his rights, so he gets paid, you know, whatever that $30K is, but he can also get NBA training camp. I forgot what they call it, but that can be an additional like $50,000. So that's kind of like helping him out, and it makes a big difference for him. Same thing's probably going to end up happening with this other guy from Farrell. He's going to probably get waived early on in training camp, but it's just so they can hang on to him.
Yeah, and this is a very procedural kind of move for the Spurs. We've seen this happen in the past. Like you just mentioned, Mike, I think of like guys like Washburn, I think Amita Brima. Those are guys where like one day they got signed and then all of a sudden they got waived. And it's just, again, just it's kind of the paperwork process just to have them sign through, get their name through the San Antonio Spurs roster, and then all of a sudden waive them. And that way it's that Exhibit 10 clause you were talking about there where they can get like a $50,000 bonus and stuff if they go back to the G League. So you're right. It's more procedural and just kind of like the Spurs taking care of the guys that they want to make sure that they try to have in the Austin program there. So yeah, so I mean, really, that's what the training camp roster hasn't officially come out just yet, but we kind of know who it is. You know, it's the 15 guaranteed players, and then you got a few extra guys. You got three extra guys, should I say, in Farrell, and then you got two other guys. I have their names here. Who is it? Dalton Holmes and Dedrick Lawson. These guys are probably the other two training camp invites where they're on Exhibit 10 clauses, which means they're probably going to get cut at some point during the preseason unless they have a magnificent, you know, training camp. But then the Spurs would have the chance to put them in Austin as well if they want to sign there in the G League. So again, this roster is pretty much set. I don't expect any of these guys to make some sort of big impact and really make the Spurs have to waive a player to open up a spot for one of these guys. So it's kind of set, this training camp roster. But let's go into our second topic, Mike, and that is this training camp that's starting. So I think the biggest question on a lot of Spurs fans' minds and just even media that I've seen talking about this is kind of who's going to start. It's really early in the season. This is kind of where you go to when there's nothing to talk about, really. But, you know, it's an intriguing question because there are a lot of different matchup lineups that you can throw out there. I heard on the most recent Low Post, Zach Lowe and Kevin Arnovitz kind of discussed this as well. Some of these things that we've talked about here on Project Spurs on the Spurs cast and also in our writing with some of our writers over the offseason, kind of all these different lineups. So, you know, let's get your take on this, Mike. What do you think early on, the first few weeks of the season, what do you think the starting five might be? Do you have a lineup in mind, or do you want me to read you some that I thought of?
It's kind of funny because I was reading these today because our buddy Bruno from Running the Rock was asking this, and then Trevor Zegroff was also, he kind of posted his as well, and one of our former writers, and so I kind of thought about it. And I guess with me, I feel like Popsaw is going to be kind of like a trust guy and people that he knows or can, you know, play and not, you know, they don't have to worry about them making a lot of mistakes. So I think he may go with the small lineup to start with DJ and White. And then with the probably DeRozan, Gay, and Aldridge, kind of what I have. Now, I think eventually at some point, you know, once Damari Carroll gets in there and gets more time with the system, it's not completely totally different from what he was used to in New Jersey and Atlanta, being with Budenholzer. But I think once he has more time with him, he'll eventually get in there, and that'll change and shake things up a little bit where maybe White will come off the bench, and that'll push DeRozan down to the two. But there's just a lot of room for many different lineups that he can play with, I think.
Yeah, that's actually my initial reaction is that's my lineup too. If they're going to play a little small with Aldridge and Gay at the 4-5, then I think that you're definitely starting Murray, Derek White, and then DeRozan at the 3. So that's kind of where a lot of people might be seeing that lineup just early on, especially to have Murray and White, because you do want to see defensively what that backcourt can do together each night if they're out there starting the game off. If Pop wants to go big, you know, he can start off with Aldridge again at the 4 and Pirtle at the 5 like we saw in the playoffs against the Denver Nuggets. Then in that case, you might have DeRozan still at the 3 and maybe Murray or White. Or, you know, he could go back to that lineup he had last season, but instead of White starting, he'd have Murray at the 1, Bryn Forbes at the 2, and then possibly DeRozan at the 3, and then maybe like Rudy Gay or Damari Carroll, like you mentioned, Mike, at the 4. So it's going to be interesting. You know, it's just like you know, like we're saying, I really think that it's going to come down to, you know, what are they using as the season ends? You know, what are they using going into the playoffs? And I think that because of the shooting woes that they might have starting Derek White and DeJounte Murray, I think that we may see Derek White become like that Manu six-man type of role where he ends up coming off the bench because he's a creator. But again, you know, I do want to just personally, I want to see what this looks like defensively, Murray and White starting together. So that's why I think that they'll at least try it for like 20, 25 games and see if it works. And you got to remember, too, that their biggest thing was defense last year. You know, they finished, had their ratings right here. Yeah, they finished fifth in offense last year, 113.5 points per 100, according to Cleaning the Glass. But it was their defense all year, letting teams score 111.5, which is 20th. So I think that if there's one concern for this team, it's going to be defense first for Pop. And maybe that's why White would get the edge. Maybe somebody like Damari Carroll also gets a better chance at starting. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I like that. I like that there's just so much versatility with this team this year, and I feel like Pop just kind of have fun, just experimenting with different lineups, just seeing who plays better together. But you're right that defense definitely was an issue, and Derek White was kind of like the one guy that was kind of saving them there. And so, you know, I think it'll be good to see how he does with Murray, because obviously that's what he's known for, and that's where he was just a second teamer before he got injured. So that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, and so now, like, you know, now that's because really that's like the biggest training camp question that I can come up with that we're talking about here. Because I mean, when you think about some other players like Rudy Gay, you think of like Jakob Poeltl. That's going to more so depend on what Pop wants to do. Does he want to start small with like Rudy at the four, or does he want to start big with Jakob at the five? So that's kind of where we kind of know where their minutes are going to come and go from. And then some other lineup questions is like, I like to look at that spot of how does Lonnie Walker inject himself into these yeah. lineups? Does he have to beat up Bryn Forbes or Marco Bellinelli, or does Pop already have a plan to put him in to get him some kind of minutes? What do you think about Lonnie's case? Do you think it's a case where he has to beat somebody out of their minutes, like Marco or Belly, or Bryn, should I say?
Yeah, I mean, I think contrary to popular belief right now among like Spurs Twitter, I think he's going to have to beat them out because, you know, he spent so much time. I mean, he was injured and spent time in Austin, but actually spending and playing good minutes with the San Antonio team, I mean, he still hasn't played a whole ton of minutes there, and I think he's going to need some time to do that. He still makes some mistakes or gets a little ahead of himself, and I like what we saw from Summer League, but still I think he's going to have to show Pop that he can be a benefit over those other guys. I mean, I think Pop knows kind of already what he has in those other guys, and so, I mean, there's also, you know, Patty, who just coming off a crazy Olympic performance, and you know, so that'll be another player that there's just a big it's just a lot of players that can play multiple, you know, either the one or two right now, and so that'll have to work itself out, but he'll have to earn those minutes.
Yeah, and that's kind of what Patty's the guy that I was about to bring up next. That was my next question, is that like before the Olympics, the World Cup.
I meant to say FIBA.
It's all good. All good. I actually went along with you. I was like, a lot of people obviously didn't watch it, so they probably think it was just the Olympics. So, but anyway, so Patty, talking about him, I was going to ask you, my next question was, you know, do you think down the line in this season, there's a chance that Forbes maybe takes his role as a backup point guard? But now I don't think that's much as a question because of the way Patty played coming into training camp and preseason. Yeah. I mean, this guy was on fire for Team Australia. He had more responsibility there. And I think that momentum is just going to carry him forward into the Spurs season. So that's kind of my next question, I guess. I guess I could just ask you it. Do you think that as the season goes along, not just training camp, we're talking like months down the line, there's a chance that if Forbes doesn't start and he's coming off the bench, that maybe he can possibly try to take Patty's role as the backup point guard?
I mean, it's going to be hard because, I mean, obviously they're kind of similar in their roles. So, like, Patty did really well at FIBA, but then we also have to – I think a lot of people got excited about that. You also have to take a step back and realize that his role with that team is so different than what his role is with the Spurs. And so he's not that, like, you know, first or second option score that's just coming off the screen the entire time. They still kind of wanted to be a bit of a distributor. Forbes hasn't really shown he can do that either, so he's still kind of – more of a spot up outside shooter. So, I mean, that's just going to be something that's going to have to be worked out. I think Patty, Bryn, Marco, especially their spots are really kind of up in the air right now. But, you know, I think with Bryn, the one thing that a lot of people love is that he's on that team friendly contract and, you know, he had a great season last year. And so, you know, that might be somebody that tries to, you know, get a few minutes and try to take that role. I mean, he seems like there's nothing that he's without as far as skill wise that would make him be any less than Patty right now, except for the fact that he played so well and he's obviously going to be coming into camp in great shape.
Yeah. And another guy I want to talk about is Trey Lyles. You know, he's in a tough spot to get any kind of minutes or a role. He's kind of it reminds me a lot of how he played in Denver last year, where like when somebody got hurt, like Paul Millsap was hurt for most of the year, then he got to play and become like a rotation player. But the minute that Millsap came back and their team got a little healthy, well, then we saw that he didn't even play in that series against the Spurs. So I kind of feel that's the situation for him coming into this season, into training camp, and then also as the season goes along, he's really behind Rudy Gay and Damari Carroll in terms of any kind of minutes at the four. I just can't see, again, unless one of those guys gets hurt or they miss a few games or they need a rest night, I just can't see Lyles consistently getting any of their minutes to get ahead of them in the rotation. Especially, we know Rudy, definitely he's not going to get ahead of him, but maybe Carroll too. I think Carroll's a little bit ahead of him just right now. What do you think about Trey Lyles?
Yeah, I know. I think you're absolutely right. It's going to be tough for him, and he's going to have to show something that he hasn't shown yet in his career, I think, and show some sort of improvement, just because that's a really tough spot. Obviously, Rudy and Tamari are both vets who have, you know, been solid in this league, and Lyles is still kind of like trying to carve out a role for him wherever he goes, and he's going to need something, like you said, like the injuries. I mean, luckily with Denver, they had a lot of players that missed last year, so he got to spend a little bit more time there and play a little bit more. But it kind of just shows you it's a huge difference, because, you know, when everybody thought it was Marcus Morris coming, there's definitely a huge difference there in what you would expect to get there, and then now what's going to, you know, come with Trey Lyles, because he's probably really going to take on kind of like that Davis Bertans role.
Yeah, it's crazy how like our perception changes. Like my expectations when Morris was going to be on the team, I was expecting, like, you know, it's him and Rudy are going to be your two guys at the four, you know, really sharing all those minutes. And I don't think Carroll would have gotten as many minutes. He would have maybe had to play more as a three. But then immediately when he backed out, and then of course Lyles came in, it's like your expectations just go down, and you think that automatically Carroll's ahead of him in the rotation. So that's a good point there that you just brought up. That's kind of where my mind went as well. The last two guys I want to talk about are the rookies. Do you think the rookies are going to get any kind of minutes this coming season, or as long as everyone stays healthy, or do you think Keldon Johnson and Lucas Samanich are mostly going to spend their time in Austin?
I really think that all of them are going to spend, even Weatherspoon's going to probably spend a lot of his time there too. In fact, he might not even make it to the 15. But yeah, I mean, Samanich, we saw him in Summer League. I know everybody got a little excited after that first game, but there's a lot that he brings, but he's still got a lot of work to do. And, you know, he's not going to be able to do that playing, you know, spare like 5 minutes here every other night or something like that. And so I think the one that has the best chance, but still, that's another position that's really packed, is two and three, is Keldon, talent-wise. Mm-hmm. But because of that logjam, it's probably going to be better off for him to, you know, stay there. And it's something that I'm sure Spurs fans are going to be like discouraged about. They hate when the young guys don't get to play, but it's what's best for their development. I mean, I think we saw with Derek White and Rusnu and several players that all that time and getting to play, you know, a full games and every game really helps their development a lot more than sitting on the bench.
I think the outrage is going to come if Lonnie doesn't get any kind of minutes. Like, we can already tell if they're going to be very upset. If Lonnie doesn't get any minutes, so that'll be kind of something to watch. I mean, it's you know, like I said, like there's not a lot of huge moves going on with the Spurs right now. Their team's pretty much set. I mean, it's like we mentioned, it's a lot of last year's players. It was already built pretty well to continue to be a potential playoff team again. And they just made some minor additions, like guys like Damari Carroll and some of those rookies, like a veteran player like Trey Lyles. So it's a lot of just more so like it's just like you're getting this huge piece in terms of adding DeJounte back, a healthy DeJounte Murray, which is really good for the team. But now the roster configuration, Pop kind of has too many players now, and he has to kind of figure out who's going to play where. And then you got, like we mentioned, you have Lonnie Walker up and coming, so now you got to get Lonnie some minutes. And so it'll be really interesting. I think that's what's going to be the most intriguing part, is kind of, we know who the guys that are going to play every night. That's, you know, that's DeRozan, that's Aldridge, that's Rudy Gay, Derek White, DeJounte Murray. Those five guys, you know, we know they're locked into their minutes each night, whereas some of the other guys that had guaranteed roles last year and had guaranteed minutes, some big minutes, guys like Bryn Forbes, Marco Bellinelli, Patty Mills, some of, you know, Jakob Poeltl, some of these guys, now it's going to be a little interesting to see where they fit in and you know, how many minutes they do get. So that'll be kind of fun to kind of watch this. You know, again, it's just, these are like more minor kind of roster moves that we're kind of watching, and we'll kind of see what happens next week as training camp begins. I think one thing I always like to watch and listen to is their the player quotes during training camp that first week, because it's very much like, you know, because they're usually closed practices, so the media doesn't really get access to see these guys working out and see what kind of sets that Pop's throwing out there at the starting unit. So every now and then you'll get little snippets of the players kind of when they talk to the media, they'll kind of give some information that we're kind of wanting to see. So like I remember, I want to say it was the 2014 title run or 2013, right before that, the year that they lost, they kind of said like, you know, we have the starting unit that has these players, and then the backup unit, it's us five guys, and we kind of it's like a two different type of lineups. And so it's kind of interesting. You might get some of those little snippets of information that we're kind of wanting to know is, you know, who is Pop starting in practice right now as the starting five? Who does he have coming off the bench? You know, who's not really playing yet? So those will all be fun questions that come out next week when training camp starts. So thanks, Mike, for joining me for SpursCast episode 554. Spurs.
I just wanted to get your opinion on something real quick. And this is something that came out recently. And I kind of put it out there without, like, comment or something. But I wanted to see what you thought of the whole ESPN ranking stuff. I know rankings are really hard. It's really hard to try to rank players, especially when there's so many.
Asking the wrong person. But go ahead and tell me. Kind of fill me in, because I honestly, I'm not sure if you mean, because I respect a lot of the media putting out these rankings. Like, you know, I know ESPN has theirs, Bleacher Report, SI, all these kind of people. I mean, all these kind of different outlets and people do these, and they really take a lot of time to do that. And I respect that. I don't know, because I'm such a math nerdy kind of person. I'm more into the stats and the data.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to quantify some of that stuff.
I know there's like two camps of NBA Twitter. There's the people that are going to do these rankings that are mostly, you know, they're a lot of it's based on opinion. And then there are those that are going to not do it. And they're like the math people that really are working off stats and background information and old data. Yeah. That's why I'm more in that camp. That's why when it comes to these things, I don't get as excited. I don't even read them. And it's not because I'm not trying to be disrespectful to them. I just don't. I honestly don't. They're not going to change my mind on a player. Like, I don't care where you rank so-and-so in your top 50 or 100. But go ahead and tell me. So what's the NBA Twitter or Spurs Twitter going crazy?
Oh, I think it was the ESPN. And I know that both Jamar and Marcus were both in the 40s. Marcus is a little bit higher. But I think the biggest problem people are having is that, like, Zion Williamson was above, I think, both of them. So that one was kind of weird. And then I think Trae Young was up really high, like in the top 30, I want to say. So it's, like I said, it is hard. I had to do some like mock draft stuff for lineups last year, and I was just like, man, trying to find out, you know, how to rank these guys is really hard sometimes, aside from the top 10. So I don't, you know, I wouldn't be able to do what they did, you know. And I mean, it would be a lot of work to go into that. And obviously, you're going to overlook some stuff. But like I said, I didn't really offer any comment just because, you know, I unless I have, like, actual data to back some of that stuff up, it's kind of hard to argue with some of that stuff. But I did think it was kind of crazy some of the younger guys got some
over
some
the two Spurs.
There.
Well, like, this is actually a question I took it off the paper, but I was going to ask you this. This is actually a question I had in mind. Do you think LaMarcus or DeRozan make an All-Star team this year? That was going to be one of my questions to you. Do you think either of them make an All-Star team? Because I know LaMarcus got in last year.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, you're talking – I was just looking – I didn't list them all, but I was looking at the West. I mean, there's a lot of forwards coming into the West. Yeah. You know, you got Kawhi here now. You got Paul George is already here. But, you know, there's just a lot more talent now in the West that has come over this way. I know Kevin Durant left. But, you know, it's going to be tough for him. So I think when we're talking about this, I think I'm looking more so – I think they are also, when I'm just reinterpreting that, this information you're giving me is they're looking at who's going to project well. And I feel like those two guys definitely – because they're so young too, they have so much of a higher ceiling than kind of what we know LaMarcus and DeRozan are.
Right.
So I don't know. What do you think about that, though? Do you think either of those guys can make an All-Star team?
It's going to be rough, especially with how good the West's gotten. I mean, it's not just those guys, but it's also Bogdanović from Indiana. I mean, there's just a lot of, like, influx of talent in two and three. So honestly, I feel like one of the things that I've said is I want to see how DeMar does now with the full year in his first time under his belt, and I think he might be able to do a little more now, especially that he probably won't have to do as much with the, you know, distribution and things like that. But and then you're adding so much talent to Western Conference, and then you think about players that are already here or came in last year, like LeBron was injured in the All-Star last year. So obviously he was, I mean, there was a few other players that were injured. So it just becomes a lot harder to even, like, and Marcus, obviously he was like the last pick last year. So It would be hard to see that change or see him, you know, come up above that. It would be easier to see him fall in that case, I think.
Yeah, so like, let me just go through a few players here, like in these like guard slash forward kind of roles. You got Kawhi joining the West again, get it? Because unfortunately, he kind of forces his way out of the West in a bad way. And then you got Anthony Davis, who's going to be healthy now, so he should be having a good year coming up. And you still got LeBron. You mentioned, you got Bogdanovich coming over to the West. You got Mike Conley was already in the West. We're adding Zion into there. I don't think he'll make an All-Star team. Definitely not. I agree with you there. Who else here? Kristaps Porzingis, if he has a healthy year. Remember, he was a really good player if he's healthy. You still got Karl Towns. You got, let's see. Yeah, we talked about LaMarcus. Gallo, if he has a good year in OKC. I don't know. They're going to have a tough year, though. You still got Chris Paul in OKC, but that he could get moved to Miami. So, and then you got some of those young Kings players, too, who can maybe make a leap. So I mean, there's just a lot of talent in the West. And there so. Is. So I'm really interested to see. So, like, you know, I don't think like, actually, out of those four players that you just named, I think Trey Lyles has a really good chance of possibly making an All-Star team in the East, because one, like, the East is so depleted.
Trey Young, you mean, right?
Yeah, Trey Young. I'm sorry, yeah, Trey Young. It's Trey Lyles. My bad. We said too many Trey. Yeah. But yeah, Trey Young has a good shot just because the East is very depleted. There's not going to be a lot of good teams, and if Atlanta can have a decent season. Yeah. He puts up some good, really good stats. If he can kind of just work on some of his low numbers in terms of shooting percentage and stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting. But like I said, I'm not the person, and I applaud those people, because you're right. I mean, if I actually had to sit down and rank all 100 NBA players, whatever it is, I go crazy trying to do that. I applaud them for doing the work.
I'd be like, seriously, by eight, I'd be like, oh, am I making a mistake? Did I forget about somebody? So yeah, I mean, them having to go as far as they've gone with it is tough.
Yeah, so no, I honestly don't pay too much attention to it at all, really. I mean, I'll see, like, when some of our guys are retweeting some of those rankings and stuff. I think Ben was promoting the SI ones when those were coming out at the time. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's cool if they're into those things, people are into those things. I'm just not one of those people, just because, again, I rely more on the data and kind of where guys finish. And also, I don't even know if it's fair to kind of equate, you know, the positions, because everybody plays different kind of positions, you know. Yeah. Like in those kind of circumstances. So I don't know. I mean, that's a cool thing to, I guess, look at, but not really my cup of tea and stuff. So gotcha. I don't know. But thanks, Mike, for joining me on SpursCast episode 554. You can follow Mike on Twitter at MDeLeon. And then also I wanted to make sure to mention that Benjamin Bornstein recently wrote a piece on Project Spurs called San Antonio Spurs Undraftables. And in there, he kind of writes why the Spurs probably aren't going to be looking at a guard in this year's coming draft. We had talked about that topic recently on our last SpursCast, 553. So if you want to check out that article and it has some guard prospects, you can check that out from Ben over on productspurs.com. And then, you know, training camp's coming, like Mike mentioned, and preseason's here. And then here we go. The season's going to start. Should be another fun year for the Spurs. Thanks, Mike, for mixing and editing this episode as well. For Michael DeLeon, I'm Paul Garcia. Thank you. Have a great day.